There we go.
Thanks so much for everyone joining in to make the technology work. So my name is Shinchi Inryu, Body Wisdom Hidden Dragon. I'm abiding priest here for all beings and Sangha. And I am with today surrounded by practitioners of the way of Zen, both in person in our urban Zendo, and also people who are joining us through our cloud Zendo on Zoom. So today's an auspicious day in our Rohatsu Sashin. It's the fourth day, but the third long day for a number of us practicing with intention and intensity and filling our day with the practices of shikantaza, just sitting, work practice, bringing attention to our activities, how we are expressing ourselves in the world and interacting with each other. And I'm very often feel on the first day of any retreat that the constellation of people who are together are completely unique. And the myriad causes and conditions that brought us to be together in this moment, at this hour, on this day, are wondrous and phenomenal in a very real sense to me. So that's by segueing to say how much I appreciate my life and your lives all intersecting in practice and creating this container of Sangha so that we can support our own needs, own way, the needs and way of Sangha community and the needs and way of the whole world for practice. I can bring that up because there's a lot of emphasis sometimes on where are we going? Kind of where, what's the way forward? I'm just gonna pause for a second. Would you turn that off? But as I was thinking about the talk today, I was remembering a teaching of a phenomenal master of yoga named B.K.S. Iyengar. He lived a pretty long life. I'm not sure if he made it up into his 90s, but he was quite vigorous and vital long into his life. And I got to meet him once when he came here to Washington, D.C. For a teaching. But probably the one teaching that really strongly stays with me, there are a couple of them that I commonly kind of, you know, pull out when I need them. But this particular one, he would look at someone doing a yoga asana, doing a yoga pose, and particularly where it was very noticeable is in a pose called triangle pose, where your feet are separated, your feet are going kind of different angles and ways, your body's balancing forward, backward, sideways, and forward, and your arms are extended, and then you drop down toward the floor and try to rest one of your hands on the ground near your foot. And so he would look at somebody doing this position and he would say very frequently, you live in the future. He'd say, that is not correct. Place your hand so as to position yourself in balance with the foundation of your past, your karma, so that you can be fully present right now. So that subtle shift of placing my hand, say if I was doing the pose and he saw me in this way, from the front of my foot to the back of my foot, might be more difficult for me to kind of navigate or manage at that moment. But in some ways was forcing me to find stability in what was kind of behind me in a physical way, but also in a very sort of emotional, mental way. So his teaching from that in that way was really very sound advice to you know, manifest in this moment the whole of what occurred coming up to that moment, all those myriad causes and conditions right up to there. So today, December 1st, 2021, is very different from December 1st, 2020. Where have we been in this past year, in this orbit around the sun? So obviously things have changed greatly. They cannot return, they will not return to how they were before COVID-19. Last year, we weren't even allowed to be in the same room together. The same physical space for our safety's sake. So let's just take a moment to kind of settle into and be grounded in that pretty recent experience we might like to forget. Just take a moment to kind of feel that, bring that forward to stabilize ourselves in today. So during this fall Elgo, the Sangha has been practicing and studying together, talking together about one of Dogen Zenji's fascicles, so one of his writings called Uji. And we had help with unlocking that bit by a wonderful academic who lives in California, so who wrote a book about it called Being Time. But we could also flip it around and say time being. So I always kind of reflect on when somebody writes a commentary, like, why did they do it? You know, who writes a commentary on somebody else's work? You know, I even know people in academia who write criticisms of criticisms. And then if you're into something like Shakespeare, they have criticisms of criticisms of criticisms of criticisms of Shakespeare's work. So fortunately, we haven't gotten to that in the Zen world, because that would be even more confusing than Zen is. But we have people who choose to endeavor to kind of untangle something for themselves. And often, if it gets published, maybe it helps us to untangle something too. So, but going back to the person who's doing the commentary, you know, they're not the person who read it. In this case, Dogen Zenji wrote this fascicle centuries ago in another country, in another language, some people might say over the course of writing, sometimes contradicting himself, it seems. So who would endeavor to do something like that? And could Dogen Zenji ever imagine in his dreams or nightmares that all these centuries later, a female Soto Zen priest, university professor, would endeavor to unpack for us what he had to teach? One of the amazing things about human beings is that they do amazing things. And, you know, here Shinshu Roberts does this very brave thing and puts down on paper her, tries to elicit for us what taste, what fragrance of Dogen came through in myriad translations by other people to talk about what Dogen has to say for us, right? So isn't that just like our practice? Like, we can't really name it if we discuss with somebody what it's about. We might be able to describe to them a little bit of the fragrance of it, a little bit of the character of settledness it gives us, or not, right? But it's very difficult to create a description, to create a full picture. So that's what Shinshu was endeavoring to unpack for herself, and then felt so filled with it, she had to write it down. And then on top of that, she was willing to share it with other people who disagreed with her about some of the points for a while. And then she finally said, well, I think this is what I've had to say is people need to, I need to put it down. And she wrote a book about it and published it. And I just really appreciate that. And put examples that were, you know, things that were everyday examples, terms that we could use. So it sounds like I'm selling her book, but I guess what I'm asking is to look deeply into, just as when we eat the soup that the Tensos made for us, and we really taste the warmth or coolness of the soup and the flavors, that when we encounter a teaching, it's really nice to take a moment with it and untangle it a little bit even before you seek to digest it, right? Seek to see what's there and give appreciation to the Tenzo for the beautiful soup, appreciation to the brave human who tried to untangle Dogen for us. So in bringing up the amazing soup that the Tenzo has been serving us during our ango, our sashin, we have only the four of us, with Kurt, five people, been enjoying the fabulous meals. And we have been varying the normal way we eat together Normally we would eat in what we call oryoki style. So we would be literally like putting our bowl forward for someone to fill it. And we would do that with three bowls. And so there would be this beautiful exchange, this beautiful acting of giving and receiving and appreciation. And there are chants that go along with it before the bowls are filled, before you start to eat, and after the bowls are empty and washed. But we together have abbreviated that a little bit. And instead, we're just doing the first section of the traditional meal chant, which is that Buddha was born in Kapilavastu, enlightened in Magadha, taught in Varanasi, entered Nirvana in Krishnagara. Now we set out Buddha's bowls. May we, with all beings, realize the emptiness of the three wheels, giver, receiver, and gift. We've been doing that together for before our breakfast and lunch meals to kind of bring ourselves very much into the foundation of the sashin, which is to recall that there was a person many centuries ago who lived, who spent time in study, experienced awakening, shared the awakening, and died. A person just like us. And near the city of Kushinagara, Shakyamuni's last words were, work out your salvation with diligence. He didn't write us a poem, but he left us some advice. Work out your salvation with diligence. There's a phrase that is sometimes helpful to me that comes from one of the ancient texts, the Vishtamaga, it's called. And it says, the inner tangle and the outer tangle, the whole world is tangle. Who can untangle the tangle? The inner tangle and the outer tangle, the whole world is a tangle. Who can untangle the tangle? Definitely a koan. Daryu sometimes teaches, I don't know necessarily particularly with this particular line, but he will say to you, you have everything you need. You have everything you need to awaken. You have everything you need to experience enlightenment. And you can use all the help you can get. So sometimes we have to be open to help. And sometimes we have to just sit there and work and untangle it too. Both are true. The inner tangle, the outer tangle. The whole world is a tangle. Who can untangle the tangle? And the whole world being so tangled, as Coppolino would say, of course you would need to sit down for a while. It's so much. So going back to Shinshu's unpacking of Dogen, and she brings up this parameter that we know about, birth and death. And she says, just like form and emptiness, they are a coin, right? They are not separate. Form and emptiness are together. Birth and death, as we know it, as humans, come together as a coin. And some of the old yogis sometimes would say, think of Yogacara used to say, your whole life is a vacation. And the only thing you carry with you in your suitcase when you die is your karma. And in Shinshu's support of us in our understanding Dogen and unwrapping some of his teachings, she's trying to help us see that Dogen's saying the same thing. We have this space, our life, and it's in that space that the enlightened moments can occur. What is liberation? What is realization? You know, we think it's like something we can just have, but it's really about experience. And during tea yesterday, some of us felt comfortable to share some of our experiences. With kind of a big experience, right? Of being connected, no separation, at peace, generally. People's stories had different locations. Somebody was near a lake. I was driving a truck. Somebody was near a basement window. You know, happens lots of different places. It's not dependent actually on even who we are, but it could happen to anybody. We do all this preparation and possibly good work to get ready, and then it happens where we don't expect it to happen. Right? Or something maybe out of difficulty, the problems that exist that we work to untangle, we are able to untangle them a little bit, and then like, oh wow, look at that. So I think Shinshu was quoting, she said it could be Suzuki Roshi or Joko Beck, but saying that there are no enlightened people. So let's not hang that shingle on somebody and put that weight on them, or put them on that pedestal, right? There are no enlightened people. We're only enlightened moments. But it's kind of nice to be around other people who've had those enlightened moments, like in case we have them, to kind of check in. See, okay. Let me shine a light on this. Let me untangle this a little bit. We have some help. But it's still your experience. Not that person's experience. But then you get to have that intimacy of being completely open for a moment. And there's a realization and opportunity in that alone, a freedom in that. Very rare and beautiful. Chin Chu says we must meet the moment 100%. And we must include the causes and conditions up to this moment. 100%. That's a lot to give. 100% to this moment. And then the next moment. And then the next moment. And here we are in third day of Sesshin, and we feel like our bodies are going to break. Like if we move the wrong way, something will crack. And then we take the next breath. And oh, I didn't break. I'm okay. I'm still here. And take the next breath. I'm still okay. I'm still here. I may not be okay. I may be in pain. I may be suffering. I may be crying. I may be confused. I may be afraid. But I can take that next breath and see, oh, that's pretty good. Right? Each next breath kind of says to me, what else is there? What more is there in here? What capacity can I find to be with myself and to be with all of this crap, right? All of this hate, greed, and delusion out there and in here, right? Out those windows and in this box, in this 3-pound universe. The inner tangle, the outer tangle. How am I gonna untangle the tangle? I'm gonna sit right here and breathe. And I'm gonna breathe with you. May we with all beings, everywhere, 10 directions, 3 times. Work to support each other's awakening, liberation, joy. Opening to the next breath. To holding and consciously working with our next step. Thank you for listening. So we can